Well, good morning, Pine Grove. All right, two for the price of one this morning. So we're on a voyage the last 3 weeks, and this is the third in a series on forgiveness. And it's a tough series because we all have issues with granting forgiveness, accepting forgiveness, and the whole notion of moving on to a better place. And so, you know, there's a saying that it takes a village to raise a child. Turns out that this sermon took a community to put together. So we had a nice chat with a few members of the congregation about forgiveness, and want to give a shout out to Franz and Marsha that helped us with some of this material, and Bill, who gave us an interesting book to read, and so we're going to make some references to a couple of those conversations and those books. We still have my fellow swimming. Is there any chance we can... Okay. This is why we need two people. Okay. And so we are in a situation where this is a sermon that Janet and I have spent a lot of time thinking about and praying about, but it's really a sermon that comes together from this church family. And I'm always so appreciative of being able to come before the church family and say, we're all in this together. And there is never a truer moment than with the passage that we're going to be looking at about forgiveness. So we started out... This sermon is going to be called The Freedom of Forgiveness. But we actually started out 2 weeks ago with Janet preaching about God forgives us. And it all starts from there. Am I getting this up? There we go. All right, good. So 2 weeks ago, we had Janet talking about God forgives us. And it's really where we start. Our community is grounded in a belief in a triune God, and that forgiveness comes from a transcendent source. And that transcendent source is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus died once for all to pay for our sins. And that God is waiting for us to return home, the prodigal sons and daughters, to come and pick up the blessing of forgiveness. So last week, I took the next challenge, and that is, can I ever forgive myself? Is God got it right? Can God forgive me? And when you get right down to it, that's a very individualistic, self-centered approach. It's all about me. It's all about me. I'm not good enough to be forgiven. Where God says, no, you were made in my image. And if I want to forgive you, which I do, which I had my son die on the cross to do, doggone it, I'm going to forgive you. Suck it up. Also, we can get over ourselves and figure out that I am a sinner, I can be forgiven, and it's up to me to accept that invitation. And I gave you a little bit of an action plan about the prodigal child action plan for forgiveness. Going to just take a quick look at that and review. And then this week, we're going to extend forgiveness to others because of its benefits, because of what God tells us to do, because of what Jesus told us what to do. And we're going to look at it in two very different contexts, because you may be having a forgiveness obstacle in one of two very different ways. And we've called those the drip-drip situations and the tsunami situations. And so we're going to take a look at those. So, I don't think we're going forward here. How are we doing? This is most peculiar. Okay, we're still 2 weeks ago. We're not 2 weeks ago. Last saving the day. Did I talk to you about a community preparing this sermon? Well, there we go. Here we are. So I know what comes next, so I can talk about that, right? So the review that I said is that one of the things about being unable to forgive yourself, to enter into this place of forgiveness where you can accept the forgiveness that God has extended to you, and it opens up this vista where you actually are able to forgive others. And somehow, if you don't get into that plane, if you don't get into that prairies, and I come from the prairies, so I always think of open spaces as the prairies, not the sea, but if you don't get into that place, it's very, very difficult to extend forgiveness to your brothers and sisters. There we go. Thank you. Have I done something? Okay. Yes. All right. So I encouraged you last week, and now we can go over the homework, is that if you think you're not good enough to receive God's forgiveness, or if you think you're too good to receive God's forgiveness, i.e. God, who needs God? I'm doing just fine. Got a job, got family, got everything. You're not going to be in the right place. You're not going to be equipped to look at giving forgiveness to others. So I said maybe you may have a haunting story that is holding you back. And Janet's going to look at those kinds of stories this week. I encourage you to read the prodigal son parable about what the approach is to coming before God, coming to your senses and saying, oh my goodness, I had no idea that God was such a loving father and that he is giving me forgiveness so I can come back into his house and receive all the benefits and establish all my relationships, not only with God, but with my brothers and sisters. And finally, I ask that you know and pray so that Jesus, you know that Jesus is inviting you to be on the team, and it's not when you've cleaned up your act, but when you are in your messy life clothes that God is extending this invitation. Sometimes that's really hard to accept. You know, I'll come to church when I've got my act together. I will forgive my brother when he comes and asks for forgiveness. And God wants all the messiness of your situation to be brought to him in love so that you can move to the next level, so that you can start doing some of this reparation. So we are going to now say, okay, let's assume that you're doing that. And let's say you're starting on that journey. Simultaneous with that journey, you will now find opportunities to forgive others. And I've been really inspired by Becoming Human, Jean Vanier, the book he wrote in 1998. I talked about it a bit last week. And again, I've been thinking more about the whole notion of forgiveness and where forgiveness fits into the process of becoming human, of being human. And Jean Vanier says it's absolutely essential to be human, to be in the fullness of who we are as image bearers of God and Christ. And he said that if we don't, we risk not being part of the fulsome experience of what it means to be human, and we will languish in loneliness. We will feel like we don't belong. We will have moments where we're excluded, and we are hurt, and we are diseased, and that the answer is to accept this forgiveness from God, to seek healing, to be liberated through a forgiveness, and you will find new freedom. It's a powerful little expose. If you've got a few hours and you want to read Jean Vanier, he's an absolutely lyrical writer, and he talks about without forgiveness, it just seems flat. It seems empty. It seems inhumane. And so we encourage you to think about what it means to give it up, to become free, to become liberated, to become the kind of brother and sister that Jesus said you could become. And I think there's a progression. And the progression is what we see out of the prodigal son story, that you will start seeing this fullness of becoming human come into your life. You will go from a place of rebellion. Father, give me all my money. I'm going to a foreign land. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to have parties. I don't need you to tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. That's the rebellion part. And yet, as soon as we start that rebellion, we start becoming very aware of the separation that we create. The separation we create between us and God, between us and our brothers, between us and our sisters. And suddenly, instead of going, who, what, where, when, why, we go to lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disoriented, bewildered. And so with this invitation to accept forgiveness from God, to move back, we come to an awareness that we need to do something. We need to reconcile with God and reconcile with others. We start with an awareness. We start with an action plan. And suddenly, our life seems to start having some color added to it. Some of those black and white pictures start having slight tinges of beige. Till we get to the bright colors of freedom and reconciliation. I think Wes is going to be talking maybe a bit about reconciliation in the coming weeks. Yes? Yeah, two weeks, reconciliation, wait for it. And so instead of having these signposts, we now then have community and we're connected. So today we have a very big piece of passage, and it has a lot in it about forgiveness. And just bear with me. I'm going to read it out loud. This is the message that's up on the screen. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And it says a lot, and Janet and I are not going to unpack all of it, but we're going to unpack a little bit. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as if you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So, that's one part of the story. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And 10,000 talents is about $1 million today. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him about 100 denarii. That's about $5. He grabbed him and choked him and told him, pay it back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants just as he had it on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay all that he owed back. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Pretty tough teaching on forgiveness. Okay, so what do we get out of that? Well, we can get lots of things. We're going to focus on a couple. First is pretty clear evidence that God tells us to forgive. Jesus, in the parable, says, if that doesn't happen, bad things could happen to you. And this is a different way that we're orienting ourselves from the Jean Vanier model, is if you don't forgive, you will stay in isolation. You will stay cut off. And here in the parable, it's like, if you don't forgive, bad things will happen to you. Well, guess what? That's kind of the same thing being said. You will stay alienated. You will stay separated. You will stay less than we want you as a human being, as a child of God. And so there's a book I read many, many years ago, about 30 years ago, and the first three words in the book start out, life is difficult. I thought, boy, this is going to be a real upper. All right? And it goes on and on, and it says, you know what? If you think just because you become a Christian, life's going to be easy, you picked the wrong religion. All right? Life is difficult, and life is difficult for so many reasons. And we're going to concentrate on two very, very different kinds of ways life is difficult, and this makes forgiveness difficult. So one of the ways is day-by-day relationships, and the other one, as I said, are tsunami events. And where is God in all of this? He's everywhere. He's there day by day. He's there in the big things, in the tsunami things and in the little things. And if you believe me, and don't just believe me, believe the Bible and take a look at some of these books that we're suggesting, is that if you do not forgive, you will be something less than you can become. So where does the little forgiveness happen? Drip, drip, drip. Those kids, they keep bothering me. My boss doesn't understand me. That guy just cut me off. Cut me off in traffic, 417. Happens every day. Sometimes I do it. But anyway, or maybe, and this is the most difficult situation. I can't believe I have to go to that church meeting. The people are so stupid. Okay, that's never happened to anybody in Pine Grove. But it's a hypothetical. So I think there are four very, very different parts of your life where you might have a drip, drip, drip forgiveness problem. And if we don't meet that problem, it goes from being a drip, 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 potentially to something bigger. And Janet's going to be talking about the something bigger things. But it's really important because we get these opportunities every day to practice the prodigal son prayer, the sense of forgiveness, and what it means to make us full again as a person. And so I'm saying that you're going to have those opportunities with your partner, with your parents, with your kids, with your bosses, with your colleagues, with your teachers, with your employees, with your students, with those people in traffic, those lineups where people cut in. You know, some cultures where it doesn't matter because everybody cuts in. But ours, we tend to have lineups that really bugs me and people cut in. And I have to exercise forgiveness. When we were doing this yesterday, I was counting how many times I had to forgive people and then counting how many times people had to forgive me. And it was about 50-50 on that score. So, and then client services. You know, you can shout at somebody who's on the other end in India, right? And you think, I don't have to forgive those people. They're halfway around the world. They're supposed to be in Toronto, but they are in Dubai. Or they're in somewhere. And then, as I said, the churches, ministries, small groups, whatever you have. And I think the thing is, don't be too easy on yourself and say, I don't have to forgive that people, those people. But don't be too hard on yourself and say, absolutely, I have to forgive everyone or else I have to stick pins in myself. So those opportunities arise every single moment of every single day. And they're the drip, drip, drip opportunities of forgiveness. We're going to make some suggestions about what you might want to think about as steps so that you can deal with some of these. But we're just going to throw those out right now as the possibilities with respect to where forgiveness might be an opportunity for you this week, this day, or maybe right over lunch. Okay, getting a little personal. Well, so, over to you, Jen. Oh, maybe not.
I'll tell you a story while we're on this. So I'll tell you a drip, drip, drip story. Our second year of marriage, we were living in England. Dawn was doing a master's at University of Cambridge. And, don't look over there. At University of Cambridge. And it was the most challenging year of our marriage. It was not exactly the experience that either of us expected. We were living overseas, didn't have any of our community with us, and we were having a lot of friction between us. It might be drip, drip, drip of hot water on my forehead, you know? And we fortunately took with us a book, a marriage enhancement book. You know, we were reading through it and we came across this concept of marital anger. I had not heard of this concept before, but I was like, yes, that is it. Because every time I was unhappy with anything in Cambridge, it was his fault. He was the one doing the master's here. But, you know, there were lots of little things, you know, if somebody is chronically late, or, you know, toothpaste, laundry, food, you name it. And this really goes for all family members. This idea of marital anger, and you can't let those things build up. That you need to, and this is what this book was saying, you need to let them go and practice an ongoing forgiveness. And it was transformative for our marriage. And ever since then, to just not keep harboring little bitternesses against my spouse and then translating that into other people as well. So I just put that out there as a good drip, drip, drip example of, you know, these things have to be regular. And, you know, honestly, if we don't have forgiveness by the time you get to work, if you drive like I do along the 417 like I do, I would be a bundle of frustration and anger by the time I get to work every day because of traffic issues. And I'm like, I can forgive because God has forgiven me, and we have this teaching in Christianity about forgiveness and how to forgive, and it makes life a lot better. Dawn gets all the wandering around. I need to have this a little closer here. So sometimes we have more than a drip, drip, drip. We have a tsunami event that hits our lives. And if we have practiced forgiveness on that daily, moment-by-moment basis, when the tsunami hits, we have some practice. We have some tools in our toolkit, and it is easier to practice that larger forgiveness. Now, the larger forgiveness is not easy, but we have this role model of Christ, who on the cross, at the most painful moment of his life, says about the people who are dividing up his clothes, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, at the moment of being executed, he is asking God the Father to forgive his executioners. That is a really big tsunami event. And an incredible role model for us. That, I believe, is why it is in Scripture, is to be that role model for us of, you know, in the most difficult circumstance, against the most difficult people to forgive, this is our model of forgiveness. Now, there's a number of different ways that tsunamis can hit us in our lives. And a big one is hurts from our past. Sometimes the hurts from our past have been tsunami events of abuse, but sometimes they have been more of a drip, drip, drip of neglect from people in our lives, people who have failed us at significant moments. Interestingly, when we started this series, Bill loaned us this book called Forgiving the Dead Man Walking, and it is the story of a woman who, when she was 16 years old, was kidnapped and raped. And in her journey of forgiveness, she had realized that she had a huge issue with her mother, because her mother had been out on a date. She came from a broken family. Her mother was out on a date the night that this happened to her, and so her mother was not home to see that she wasn't there. And so there was this incredible delay before anybody realized that she was missing. And she realized that she needed to forgive her mother, because this had been a history with her mother of her mom not being there when she needed her the most. And so it's her journey of forgiveness of the man who did this to her, but also this experience with dealing with her mother and this whole past hurt. Many times we suppress those things, and we really need to deal with them. And then present hurts on an ongoing basis. We can have broken relationships with people in our family or with friendships, forgiving, abuse, violence, cataclysmic events, getting fired, right through to being attacked physically. These kinds of cataclysmic events, hit you, and one of the ways that we can deal with and process things is through this path of forgiveness. I'm going to, hopefully, if it works, show a video. This is from the Humboldt Broncos coach's wife.
Certainly won't do him any good, and it won't do my kids any good. My kids need someone to model something, that's positive. As I sat there in court and I watched him, even before my statement, and I didn't expect to feel like this. I wasn't sure how I was going to feel in court. I knew that I needed to forgive him, and I knew before, as I was writing it, that's what Darcy would expect and want from us as a family. But I wasn't sure how I was going to feel in court seeing him. But honestly, seeing him, my heart just breaks for him. He has a wife sitting behind him. He has a family sitting behind him. And his life is turned upside down from all of this, too. And while it was a preventable mistake, it was a mistake. And, we've all made mistakes. To me, it doesn't matter. No, I don't have anything in my head, so... And like I said, my heart breaks for him. I do feel like there are consequences for our actions, and I don't necessarily think that, he did make that choice. And, I could try to put myself in his footsteps. If I had done that, I feel like I should have to equally pay the consequences of that. Now, I don't know what those are, right? I don't know what that is. So I don't have any number. I don't have any sentence in my head.
Sorry, it's too irritating, but that was the wife of the coach of the Humboldt Broncos. I don't know if you guys, I'm assuming that you remember the crash of the hockey team. And she's talking about forgiving the truck driver who ran a stop sign and ran into the bus, and her husband was killed along with about at least half of that hockey team. She and her husband are Christians and were quite well-known public Christians in that community. And she talked about her role being forgiveness and how important it was to see the bus driver as a human being who had a family and children, and he made a mistake, and that her role as a Christian is to forgive him for what he did. So forgiveness is a journey. It is important to recognize that it isn't just a sort of one-off thing, that I now have forgiven somebody for something and it's done, it's over with. It would be nice if it works that way. But one of the first steps is to recognize that we have an anger problem, we have an issue that we need to deal with, and admit it. A lot of times I think we like to just sort of suppress, I don't want to have to deal with that, it's too hard, people expect me to be strong, I don't want to deal with this. So the first step in forgiveness is recognizing that there's an issue. And then to seek out a trusted individual to talk through it with. It is hard in these tsunami situations to deal with this by ourselves. There are professional counselors to help with these things. Sometimes a trusted friend or a group session. Some churches and organizations will have group sessions where we can help each other to process these kinds of issues. Also helpful to consider whether you are angry with God over things. Why did you let this happen to me, God? So that can be a huge issue if you've got a brokenness in your relationship with God and you're trying to work through forgiving someone else, you need that conduit to be clear. And so dealing with your relationship with God can be an important aspect of the whole forgiveness journey. And do be prepared for things to come up in your life again. I talk about triggers, and I did mention in my introductory part of this sermon series that I had realized there are some issues in my own life that I thought I had dealt with, but that I still have forgiveness issues and still need to work through another aspect of it. And so just recognize that it is a journey. And I think particularly for the tsunami kinds of things in life and past hurts, you may need to forgive and deal with forgiveness over and over again. And particularly if it's a family member who, you know, is still in your life, you may need to, every time you deal with that person or you may feel hurt over and over again, you may need to continuously work on that forgiveness.
So, you know, the other thing that's really difficult about forgiveness is the person you forgive may not say they're sorry. They may not apologize. They may not even recognize. They may still hurt you. They may continue to hurt you. And the interesting thing is that Jean Vanier is very, very insightful, saying that the forgiveness is a lot about you being liberated. It's about you taking steps to make your peace with that individual, not them making their peace with you. That's their issue. Now, it's always nice when somebody says, I forgive you, and the other person says, I'm sorry, as opposed to smacking you. But it doesn't always work that way. And so the forgiveness and the reciprocity thing are different issues. And I think perhaps Wes might deal with some of that in reconciliation. So these are some practical approaches that Jean Vanier gives that I think are really, really, really helpful for me, and I hope they'll be helpful for you. So there's just three principles. There can be no forgiveness of ourselves or others unless we believe that we're all part of a common humanity. And that common humanity is God-centered, God-focused, and being made in God's image. Second one is to forgive means to believe that each of us can evolve and change, and that human redemption is possible. And the little brackets that are not included there is we will change And we think that the power of forgiving others will change them as well. And the third principle is to forgive means to yearn for unity and peace, so that we take a step and we contribute, if I can use my metaphor again, a drip, drip, drip of unity and peace into that common mankind. So how do we do that? Well, the way that Jean Vanier suggests, there's five steps. There's not any particular order, but I think they're in a pretty good order the way we are. Refuse to seek revenge. Okay, hypothetical example. Guy cuts you off on the 417. What's the first thing you want to do? Race ahead, get in front of him, cut him off. Okay, who's had that feeling ever? Okay, Les is the only one. Okay, we got a few more people. Or you can say, well, you know what? I'm just going to stop yourself right there and say, really? So what do we have now? Two angry drivers. Duh. In the tsunami case, it's as equally applicable. More difficult, because the hurt is probably deeper and more intense. But the idea of refusal to seek revenge, Jean Vanier says, is step one. Step two, genuine, heartfelt hope that the oppressor is liberated. This is harder, because it really requires you to open your heart to say, that person is a child of God, and I'm going to forgive them, and through my forgiveness, there's some kind of mystery that happens that they will be liberated as much as I'm liberated. There's a desire to understand the oppressor. It's not just some stupid driver from Saskatchewan. No, they have feelings too. Okay. And so you have a sense of trying to individuate that they are a child of God and that that forgiveness extends to them. And it might be your wife or your husband, or it might be your boss, or it might be somebody who has done something that Janet would call the tsunami event. And we have to recognize our own darkness, our own sense that, you know, maybe there's something in us that is preventing us from doing this forgiveness thing, our relationship with God. And then finally, I think Janet has been over this point as well, is patience. It takes time for the victim to be freed from fear, blockage, and hatred, and it takes time for an oppressor to evolve and change. And those are on completely different time scales. So we can do one, we can do the other. So finally, a tiny bit of homework. Reflect on what might be holding you back. Okay? What might be holding you back from those three little words, forgive you. What might be holding you back? Forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it does change the future. And then pray. There's this mystery again of prayer. God promises to forgive us. Jesus has told us that he forgives those they know not what they do. And in our reading today, he says, look, if you don't forgive others 7 times 70 times, or the way that the person who was owned the great debt forgave the person who had that debt, then you're missing out on something, and the Holy Spirit will enable us to do that. I like this last quote I found. Forgiveness is not about letting the bad guy off the hook. It's about taking the hook out of our own heart. So, third step is remain active in your forgiveness walk. And, you know, it's going to be 2 steps forward, 1 step back. It's going to be, I've got this tsunami covered, and then you get a rogue wave. It is a process. And then finally, again, I ask you to pray this prayer that you claim the fruits of forgiveness, liberation, freedom, community, and unity, as Jean Vanier would say, with God and our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tough message on forgiveness. We've looked at your passage in Matthew, and you say, forgive your brother 77 times. You say that you have forgiven us, and you have forgiven us much. Why can't we forgive a little to our brothers and sisters who have wronged us? And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take us really by the hand and lead us to the first step in the first relationship that you want us to look at forgiveness. And that might have been for squeezing the toothpaste out of the wrong end of the toothpaste tube this morning. Or it might be something that's so deep and profound that it's really limiting us in our freedom as to who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I just ask that you would penetrate into the minds and hearts of all of us in this church family this morning and give us the strength to take that first step and to become fully united with you. We pray this through your Son, Jesus. Thank you.